Blog Talk Radio.
You've been gone.
Welcome to the Sankofa Repat podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne, also known as D. Ryan, and I want to thank you for listening and tuning into our podcast. As usual, we're very appreciative of your listenership, and we really want to say thank you. I want to remind you again, first and foremost, we always do remind you of our mission here at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. Our mission is to assist our brothers and sisters in the diaspora, set up businesses on the African continent, and to also serve as a business incubator to ensure the success of those businesses. To get more information on our program, we invite you to visit our website at sankofarepat.com. That is sankofarepat.com. And also to consider to become a monthly Patreon contributor. And choose to donate as little as $1 per month to help us on our mission. Again, visit our website at sankofarepat.com. Also, we want to remind you to follow us on our social media streams. That is where you get the latest updates. Whenever we do have updates, that is where you'll see them first. On our social media streams, on Twitter, we're at Program Sankofa, and on Instagram, we are Sankofa Repatriation. Also on YouTube and Facebook, we are Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. And I want to remind you that of lately, we have started live streaming on both Facebook and YouTube. And our very own sister, Yah, is pioneering that. So do look out for those. We do share a lot of valuable information on both all the live streams and all of our social media platforms. So do follow us there. Today we have a very special guest on the show. Our guest today is the quintessential model of what we want to do here at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, and we do expect that you will find this information very helpful. So very soon we're going to move to our very special guest. She has done great things with regards to moving to Ghana and being able to set up her business there. So, again, we want to remind you to visit our website, sankofarepat.com, to get information on our program and also to follow us on our social media streams. So, for today, our very special guest is Miss Deja. Gordon, that is her name, and okay. She goes by Deja Vu. How are you doing, Deja?
Hi, how are you?
I am doing great, and we'll just call you Deja for short. Is that okay?
Yeah, Deja is fine.
Okay, great, great. So Deja has moved from New York, Brooklyn, New York, to Ghana, and she has since set up her business there, a food truck called Deja Vu's. Jerk Hut. So we'll be talking to Deja for a minute, and she'll be, you know, telling us about her journey in moving to Ghana and setting up her business there, and you know, giving us some valuable information and tidbits. So welcome to the show, Deja. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Okay, not a problem. It's a pleasure of ours to have you on the show, and I know our audience is looking forward to the information that you will be sharing with us, more so on your journey to Ghana, setting up business, and all the valuable information that they're going to be able to pick up from the show today. So Deja, to kick things off, can you give us a little bit about your background and tell us about life in America before you moved to Ghana?
Okay, so my background as far as like nationality, where my family's from, or just like life in America?
All of it. Your background, nationality, working in America.
So I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. My family, my father's born in Guyana, and my grandfather's actually Jamaican. So that's where that's where I get my Jamaican roots from. My grandfather. And growing up, my family and I, we usually travel. We travel all over. We tend to do that often. And so I'm mostly around like my Jamaican side of the family. I grew up eating the food every single day. And if you have Jamaican food, you know Jamaican food is delicious. And so, let's say traveling at a young age, and my Jamaican side of my family has influenced me to do a Jamaican food truck in Ghana.
Nice, nice. Okay, great, great, great. So you're speaking to a direct descendant, native of Jamaica here. I'm also from Jamaica. So
nice, actually, by your accent.
So I'm really looking forward to getting to when we're talking about all the foods later on. So we're going to get to that. Okay. Okay. So, you know, while living here in America, I want you to take us on the journey of your thought process. And when did the idea come to you to say, I want to visit Ghana?
Okay. So for me, it wasn't specifically Ghana. I feel like I had a calling to go to Ghana specifically because I knew I wanted to go to Africa just because I felt like that was something as a Black person I needed to do. And so it was just Africa in a whole for me. And then when I posted that on Facebook, let's say 2011, that I want to go to the motherland. And for me, speaking things into existence is like that's my thing. That's what I do. So I put it out into the universe and then I just make it happen basically. So it was 2011. I knew I wanted to go to Africa. And then later on, I posted again that I wanted to go. And a close friend of mine from high school, she's from Ghana. And so I was supporting her. She had a pop-up shop because she's a designer, and she told me that she was going to Ghana for Christmas, and I said I was going to go with her, and that's literally how it happened. But for apart from that, when I went to Ghana for the first time, it's an experience that I want every Black person to experience on their own, because my words do no justice, but from what I can say, it was like a sense of being home, a sense of belonging, a sense of like, you know, when you're in America as a Black person, you're aware that you are Black. You know what I mean? Like in Ghana, it's not about, oh, I'm a Black person. It's just you are a person. You are a human being. And I feel like that's what I appreciated the most about being on being in Ghana. And that's basically about it as far as me having that experience the first time. And once again, so being there, I just felt like I had to do something there. It could have been something else apart from a restaurant, but I got the vision to do a restaurant. Like the vision for me was so clear that I felt like it was God talking to me that this is what I need to come here and do. And the restaurant is not the end all of what I plan to do. This is just like a stepping stone to allow me to do other things. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah, so, yeah, that is, I've spoken to a lot of, you know, people who have visited Ghana before or any other African country, and that is one thing they spoke of. Being there, mm-hmm. you don't feel like how you would feel here in America, that you're a black person
right.
in America. You just feel normal. You just feel a sense
yeah,
of
like a human
belonging.
Being.
And
I feel like as a human being, that's what we all deserve to feel. Just being
mm-hmm.
normal, being our regular selves, and that's what I love about being over there the most.
Mm-hmm. Great, great, great. So again, when did you say was your first trip? I heard you mention you visited, but what year was that? Was it also in 2011?
My first trip was, I landed December 27, 2016 at like 11 p.m. I'll never forget it. That was my first time in Ghana.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so I've read your story, so I wanted to just tell us about your first impression of landing in Ghana versus what you had, your previous impressions of what your previous, how you had heard or perceived Ghana before. What was your first impression on landing?
Okay, so for me, I always wondered why Africa was known as the motherland. When I think of the motherland,
mm-hmm.
I thought of, like, you know, nurturing. I thought of resources, but what they portrayed and what they showed us in America is something the total opposite, complete opposite. And for me, being that curious person that I am, I said that I needed to go see for myself. So when I landed, I will never forget, I
mm-hmm.
walked out of the plane, and this is my first time in Ghana, and I heard, like, a few people said to me, like, oh, hey, they were saying hi to me. And I looked, and I actually knew these people from Brooklyn. So that was comforting to me, because I was like, wow, this is my first time here, and I already know people. Anything was to happen, then, you know, like, at least I can use their phone, because my phone wasn't of service at the point. And then my friend, Mimi, who I was meeting up with, who invited me to Ghana, she, first of all, it was a crowd of, like, thousands of people at the airport. And for me, that was a sight to see, because when my family come into town in America,
mm-hmm.
me and my brother, we're usually fighting, like, who's going to pick up who at the airport. But
yep.
in Ghana, it's like a tradition for everyone to meet their family at the airport. So I was like, wow, this is cool. So anyways,
mm-hmm.
I was wondering, how am I going to find my friend? And then someone bumped me. And I immediately got so nervous. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, here it starts. I don't know what's going to happen. And
oh,
I was checking my pockets to make sure everything was there. Don't
mm-hmm.
judge me, guys. But like I said, we do
mm-hmm.
have our
suspicions
and our thoughts on Africa. Exactly. So come to find out, it was my friend, and she was just joking around with me. So she found me, and then we went in the taxi. And I was just so happy to be there, because all before, making it to Africa seemed so far-fetched to me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't recall why, really. But, you know, you hear that you need so many shots and you got to get the visa. Come to find out, you only need one shot, one vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And but it seemed so far-fetched to me. And the fact that I made it there for the first time, I felt like I could breathe. Like, I actually made it, you know. And I was excited
yep.
to see what this experience and this trip would turn out to be. But I knew that it was going to be more than just a vacation for me.
Nice. Okay. Very, very good. And I like your story that you tell about your first trip, your first visit there. And
yeah.
Nice. So after your first trip, you
mm-hmm.
did come back to America, right? And you
yes.
migrated after. How long did it take you to go back and start to set up your business?
So the first time I stayed in Ghana for 10 days. And then from after I left, I knew that I was going to return back. I didn't know how or when, but
mm-hmm.
I just knew that I was going to go back to Ghana. And then in 2019, I believe I started hearing them talking about the year of return. And for me, mm-hmm. I felt like it was the perfect time to actually return. So I went back to Ghana in April 2019, and this time I brought along my grandparents, my aunt, and a potential chef that I was looking forward to working with. And it was a total of four of us. And mm-hmm. after that, I went back in August, and that's when October, and that's when I made my official move. So the third time I went to Ghana was my official time moving.
Oh, okay. Cool. Great. So you had an
I want to just throw in there also that I've been to two other countries in Africa, but it was just not Ghana. I've been to Nigeria and South Africa. But it's just something different about Ghana that just spoke to me.
Nice. That is what I've heard. From what I've seen so far, Ghana seems to be the envy, the gateway for us in the diaspora whenever you're thinking about visiting Africa.
Yes, definitely.
So why don't you go then tell us about your experience in Nigeria and South Africa also, as you have visited both those countries before.
So being in Nigeria was fun, but I had a great time in Nigeria, but it just seemed very like harsh in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be very mindful of my words because I don't want to offend anyone, but I personally feel like I know I can live in Ghana by myself, but I don't think I would be able to do what I'm doing in Nigeria on my own.
Mm.
As far as South Africa is more modern and it's completely different from West Africa. Well, it's completely different from Ghana. It reminds me a lot of, from what I've seen in Johannesburg, it reminds me a lot of America.
Okay.
So it's very different in that sense.
Ah, okay. Cool. Nice. So what I want to focus on now is that you said when you now migrated and get ready to set up your business, you brought some family members along. Can you tell us, you know, what was your family's reaction when you told them of your plans and how did they support you on that?
So the first, like I said, when I left Ghana the first time, I knew, like I said, I got the vision to do food in Ghana. And it was specifically Jamaican food because I would see the Jamaican flag throughout my time in Ghana. And I was wondering, like, you know, what is their obsession with the flag? And then when I did my own research, I found out that, you know, Jamaicans originated from the Ashanti tribe. So from then on, I was fascinated by, like, just looking at all the similarities with Jamaicans and Ghanaians and with Jamaica in a whole and Ghana in a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So from when I told my family, I told my grandfather first because obviously he's the Jamaican one, and my grandfather, he had a Caribbean bakery in Florida. So I went to him first hoping for, like, this response, like, oh, yeah, you want to do a business? Come, let me help you, you know? But my grandfather was just like, no. He said, no, why would you want to do business in Africa? And I like to tell his story because his story and that experience, because my grandfather has done, like, a complete turn when it comes to Ghana. Like, he's all the way on board. He came to Ghana and for the second time, and he spent an entire month with me helping me build up my business. So
nice.
He's on board. Now, as far as my parents, I would say that, you know, some, like, me saying to them, like, oh, yeah, this is what I want to do, it sounds good until I show them that I was really serious. So I think that they didn't really take me as serious until I went back in April and I brought my family and they saw me actually doing research and writing up a business plan and getting all the information that I got. My father, he didn't agree with it either. He wanted me to do something here in America. And, you know, that's understandable because I would assume as a parent, you would want your child to be closer and not all the way across the world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now, like I said, now everyone's idea and perspective on Ghana and me doing business in Ghana has changed completely. Just in February, my family, I brought my four younger cousins, my two aunts came to Ghana as well. So I have maybe like about three family members who've left to come visit me. My friends, all of my friends from high school that I'm still cool with, like about seven of them were planning. They had their flight booked April 9th to come to Ghana and visit me, but because of the pandemic, they couldn't do that. So I feel like now that my family and friends have, like, they see obviously that I'm serious. Everyone's on board. Everyone's supporting me in the best way that they can. They brag about me to their friends. And, you know, so I'm so thankful for that support that I have.
Nice. Now, just a bit of history here, just to touch on, Jamaicans being descendants from the Ashanti tribe in Ghana. So in Jamaica, we have seven national heroes. One particular hero.
Nanny Maroon, yeah.
Nanny of the Maroons. There you go. So you know your history. Nanny of the Maroons is from Ghana. So, So that's a great, a little bit of history there. So that's a good feeling, a good thing to know. Also, I really want to say thanks, and I appreciate that the effort that you have made. When more of us can go,
I was going to say right before I went, I moved to Ghana, I decided to take one more trip to Jamaica before I make that move, just so I can get the feel of everything. And then we went to the Emancipation Park and we saw the statue of Nanny Maroon and then, the 500 note have her picture on it. So I just wanted to get that that sense of Jamaican vibe before I that connection before I go and bring it and deliver it to Ghana.
Yep. And that is what I've heard. I've heard Jamaica is just a mini replica of Ghana far as people. So that's a good thing. And that's a very good feeling. So also, hearing your story, a lot of us here in the diaspora, we have heard a lot of things. Even when we mentioned to our friends and families here that you would want to visit, the first thing that comes to mind is like, why? There's a lot of negative connotations associated with traveling to Africa that we really need to dispel. So when more of us can go and show us in the diaspora that, hey, life is very good over here, life is great. That's a very commendable thing. I want to thank you for doing that. So can you share with us what preparations you made now before, going back to set up your business? What were some of the main things you prepared ahead of time?
Let me see. So for me, it was very hard. I keep saying for me, but it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard to get information on Ghana in the States because, you don't know which websites to trust. And I had to take another trip before I actually made the move so that I can see and have have an idea of what my expenses would be. So I basically just literally I had an entire plan for 2019 from beginning to end. And I said, okay, I just held myself accountable. And for anyone who does have a plan to move, I would say to literally write every single thing that you need to do down.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down so that you can see and you can see when you're making progress and you're checking it off so you can feel like you are actually getting things done. But I knew that I said, I'm going to move to Africa. I'm going to move to Ghana, so I need an apartment. That's the first thing on my list so that I can go there, be comfortable, and, finding an apartment was number one on my list. Then the second thing on my list was to register my business. And let's say even registering the business didn't even have to be the second thing on the list, but these are just things that I know that I needed to get done. And I needed to find someone to build my truck. So now when I would do that, I would just literally put myself out there to be available for any answers. So I would ask questions. I would go to events so that I could just, you know, meet people. And I feel like networking is the best thing that you can possibly do, especially someone like me who's not from there, and just meeting people so that they can know, okay, this is what I'm here to do, this is what I'm thinking about doing. And I would just say literally do that, because once again, when you're here, it's so hard to really plan abroad. But when you're there, then you can see ways where you can, okay, cut a cost here, and you can do this and you can do that. You'll have more options to do that. So that's my biggest suggestion is go there, take a trip first, and so you can see what you're working with, and then come back and then plan accordingly.
Okay, nice, nice. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners here would find your answer very informative and helpful, in the sense that what we do here at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program is that our mission is to assist our brothers and sisters here in the diaspora to migrate to African countries and set up businesses there. So at this point, we're in the phase where we're just spreading the awareness of what we're doing and, you know, get the word out in the community, and also to raise funds to be able to do it. So this is one of the questions that we get asked a lot. You know, what should I be doing, you know, before we make a trip? Should we visit first? Should we just go and start setting up a business? Yep. So I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners found that answer very helpful. So with regards to, you know, registering your business, can you tell us about that process in Ghana, and more so specific to your industry that you're in, the food business? Tell us about the process in registering your business, any kind of license that you might have needed.
So I do want to say that easier than if I was to start something here in the States. They are definitely more strict here in the States. As far as me registering my business, it was just about having certain documentation. So my friend who is Ghanaian, I think I had to use her tax identification number, if I'm not mistaken. And that's literally all that I needed in order to register my business. And a fee of, I think, I can't remember how much it was, 60 cities? I can't remember how much it was. But yeah. it wasn't
60 cities would be about 10 US or so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Either 60 or 600. I'm not. That's a big difference. Yeah. But I can't remember. But either way, it's not like, you know, it won't break your pockets to register your business. So the thing is, if you know someone that's trustworthy, then that's how I went about doing mine. And then eventually, like, I would go on to get my own TIN number, and that's free. Getting your TIN number is free. You really just need like a Ghanaian identification card. So like, let's say a driver's license, or let's say a passport. I would say the easy or the best way to go about it maybe is getting a residency. And by doing that, you'll, let's say, work for a company, or if you have a friend who owns a business, then they can probably put you under like their payroll and say that you work with them, where you would actually do work, because you don't want it to be, you know, false. So whichever way you contribute to that friend's business, I would say that's a good way to get residency. And then once you have that, then you'll have the identification card that'll open many of doors for you. So that's how everyone's journey will be different, but that's how I was able to get mine, by using my friend's my friend helped me get mine done.
Okay, great. So one of the things that we hear about here, you know, trying to set up a business here in America versus setting up a business somewhere else, let's say Jamaica or an African country, is that the barrier to entry and all the red tapes that you have to go through here is so much. It is way easier to get set up in an African country. And that is one of the motivating factors for a lot of our people to consider set up a business somewhere else. Just that barrier to entry is so hard here. So also, can you tell us about the visa process? Actually, I might find this very helpful because I do need to get that done. Also, tell us about the process of getting your visa to visit Ghana and how easy of a process that is.
Okay, so let me just say the first time wasn't so easy, but I guess I became a pro at it because it's easy for me now. I'm just filling out everybody's forms so that to make sure they get through with it. But I definitely want to say that the process has changed drastically. The process is so much more easier, than it was before. You will have to go on the website. So you can just type in Ghana Embassy in Google search. And I'm in New York, so I would go to the one that's in the city. And what you'll do is you'll complete the form that says visa application, and you have an option of choosing a single entry or a multiple entry. And the multiple entry, I believe, it lasts up to 6 years. I mean, no, sorry, 3 years. It lasts up to 3 years where you can go back and forth to and from Ghana within the 3 years. And so you'll need to fill that out. You need to print it out. And along with that, you'll need 2 passport IDs, passport pictures. You'll need a copy of your passport. You'll need your actual passport. You'll need a letter of recommendation. A letter of invitation.
From a job or from someone you know?
Someone you know. So if you are staying in a hotel, then you'll just show them that, like your itinerary from the airport, and then the actual stay that you're staying at the hotel. But if you're staying at someone's house, then what you'll just need is for them to type up like literally just 3 sentences saying I'm inviting stay here at my home at such and such location, and literally that's all. You'll need proof of their IDs too. So they'll have to send 2 separate forms of identification. So that can be a driver's license, that can be their passport, that can be their voter's ID, that can be whatever photo ID that they have. You'll need 2 of those. And I believe the single entry is $75 and the multiple entry is $135, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, since you're in New York, you just take this physically to the location there, right?
Yes. Also, yes, you will need the yellow fever vaccine. Like I said, a lot of people here in America feel like you need 1,000,001 vaccinations before you can make it to Africa. There's only one that you need, people, yellow fever. And it's very expensive now in the States, but you can get it upon arrival once you get to the airport for $20. So please don't let that be an excuse why you don't make it to Ghana or Africa.
Nice. Also, you know, just to give out some more information on, I've heard recently from 2 persons who have visited Ghana of having contracted malaria there. Now, malaria is a very easy thing to deal with. So just so our people know is that sometimes you might need to do the malaria vaccine 10 days prior to going to Ghana. Other than that, malaria is just a mosquito-borne disease that spread, you know, almost anywhere in any other country. You know, just so our people can be safe, to get the malaria vaccine about 10 days.
Yeah, you can get the vaccine. They have plenty of medication there to take. I have not, thank God, I haven't experienced that yet. I haven't taken the vaccine or any medication for malaria. And I've been in Ghana for 5-6 months straight, so I'm so thankful and grateful that I haven't experienced this yet. Let's hope I don't ever have to. But once again, I'm just showing that there's another side to it as well. Like, yes, you can get it, but then there's a side that you may not get it, you know?
May not get it. There you go. Cool. Okay. So So you went through all your preparations and now you've went on your third trip when you're now ready to set up, you know, business in Ghana. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about, you know, actually, you know, getting your food truck together and getting business set up, and how was business at first?
So to start with that, once again, I don't have any family members in Ghana. I literally had to just single thing out. I go based off of, like, my instinct and my gut feeling. If it feels right, then I go with it. If it doesn't, then I don't go with it. So I, once again, had to use that as a guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to just, once again, ask questions and put myself out there to receive the answers. Now, as far as building the food truck, I was going to work with someone at first, but once again, I had that sense of discernment where it was just like, not that it was a negative, but it was just like, test out other options, see another way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I landed with the company that I did work with. Once again, I have no knowledge on building a truck. I have no knowledge on anything. So I want that to be clear so that people who's listening can understand that if you want to do something, it doesn't matter if you went to school for it or if you didn't go to school for it. If you solely want to do that thing, then you can do it. So now I had, so I went with that company, and come to find out that company never even built a food truck themselves either. They just built like a container. So it was a first for all of us. And it just, we just had to make it work with what we had. And so my, that's it.
Okay. Okay, cool. Nice. So I see pictures of the your food truck, and it is a very good food truck. Actually, you can dance in it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw that video. Your workers, you know, having a good time with the food truck, and it looks very good to me. So we're going to talk about, you know, your future plans for the food truck in just a minute. But right now, I want to give our listeners, I think we mentioned it before, the name of your business, Deja Vu's Jerk Hut. So I want you to tell us the story about naming your business.
So my name is Deja.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from my name, it was, once again, after learning the history between Ghanaians and Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
It was a
mm-hmm.
like a if you know, deja vu means
mm-hmm.
a sense of like being here already, you know.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
for me, I kind of incorporated that with the fact that Jamaicans originated from Ghana. So now my whole thing is bringing Jamaican flavor back to the motherland. So it's like we're returning. We were here. We're returning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just my actual
name. So it's like I've been here before.
Right. So that's the whole meaning behind the deja vu. And if you can see, like, the truck, which is, I'm still working on it. The top part of it is kind of like, you know, it has that hut straw thing at the top. So I wanted to give it that type of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And being that I'm doing it on my own, the first dish that I figured was, like, you know, the simplest dish that I can bring and introduce to the Ghanaian people is jerk. So you know, jerk, I feel like you can't go wrong with doing a good jerk chicken, a good jerk pork, and so I said, let me just go with that, because I know that they'll like a nice flavored, spicy, flavorful piece of meat.
Nice. So, you know, bringing the Jamaican flavor to Ghana, how do Ghanaians, local, appreciate the Jamaican food? Tell us about their experience interacting with the food.
So what I do or what I've done so far on my truck is basically like, so I have a Rasta pasta, right? And mm-hmm. every time I say Rasta pasta, they look at me like, Rasta pasta, what's this? So I basically give out free samples so that they can mm-hmm. test it out. And once they taste it, they love it, and then they want to come back and buy it. So I sometimes have to switch up the words. So you see mm-hmm. like rice and peas, they have something yeah. called wache, which is very similar to rice and peas. So mm-hmm. let's say on my menu, if I have to put it in brackets, wache, then they'll have an idea of what
yeah.
they're looking
what
for.
What it is.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's how I introduce them to it, by giving them free samples and then kind of explaining to them. And I also share the story as far as with, you know, the connection between Ghanaians and Jamaicans. And
mm-hmm.
once you tell a Ghanaian about Jamaica, they are like, oh, my brother. Like, they know the history already, majority of them. So they're so
mm-hmm.
happy and excited, and they love the fact that, you know, it's Jamaican music playing, it's Jamaican
yeah.
food we got here, it's something new, it's something different. So I'm actually surprised. Well, I'm not surprised, because
uh-huh.
if they can have Chinese food in Ghana and they're doing good, why wouldn't Jamaican food do good? You know what I mean? Like, it's
uh-huh.
an actual connection there. So
yep.
I'm just thankful that, you know, the feedback that I've got from the locals are but better than I actually even imagined, especially in the beginning. And
mm-hmm.
the first day I sold out of rice and peas. The second day I sold
nice.
Out of food completely. So I was like,
oh,
wow, this is doing better in the beginning than I expected. And I wasn't even fully set up. You know what I mean? I was just like, I have to start selling because I can't keep sitting on it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
that's very
yeah.
impressive. That's very good. That's
Thank
very
you.
Good. Must have given you some good motivation there. So as to pursue this even further. So you mentioned a couple of things that are on your menu. So we're just going to jump into what's on your menu and talk about all that good stuff. But first, let me ask you, is jollof rice on your menu?
Jollof rice is definitely on my menu. That's a must when you're in Africa. You need jollof rice.
Yeah, that much I've learned.
I do have jollof rice, and once again, I wanted to make sure that I included and infused a flavor of African dishes. So I have jollof rice, I have fried rice, I have rice
mm-hmm.
and peas, and then, like I said, I started
watch
off
it.
With everything jerk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have jerk chicken, we have jerk pork, and then we do a fried snapper with jerk seasoning. So
mm-hmm.
everything is jerk for now. Once again,
yeah.
because I had to teach my staff how to do it, and, you know, I wanted us
yeah.
to perfect that first until I
mm-hmm.
go into, like, the bigger dishes or, let's say, breakfast. But I am, because a lot of foreigners have been messaging me about, like, oh, do you have oxtail on there? Do you have baked mac and cheese? And do you have this and that? So once again, when I'm fully established and I'm able to expand my menu, I will have the stewed peas, I will have the
mm-hmm.
oxtail, I will have the steamed fish and okra and crackers and all that good stuff. So
mm-hmm.
that's what my
nice.
Menu will consist of.
Nice. And I hope by then, you know, I would have visited Ghana and be able to check out your food truck.
Yes, let's hope.
Nice. So I want you to talk about the similarities between Ghanaian dishes and Jamaican dishes, because I'm pretty sure they are.
Yes. So once again, like I said, the wache is rice and peas. I would say it's a little bit more, the wache is more sticky in a sense,
mm-hmm.
and their peas are smaller. So the kidney beans, they don't use that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think I'm going to say this wrong, but they have Jamaica, they call it blue jaws.
Yeah.
Dunkno or dunk? I don't like saying that word.
Blue jaws,
Dunkno. So they have that.
Both words talk to the same thing.
Yes. So they have
mm-hmm.
that in,
oh, nice.
In Ghana. And
mm-hmm.
once again, when you're just driving around and you see the mangoes and you see the coconuts and you see the man
mm-hmm.
chopping the coconuts, It literally reminds me so much of Jamaica. You have the fresh fruit, you have the trees, you have the good weather, you have the music playing, the vibe, everything is just like, wow.
So I think that's like the best of both worlds. I mean, Jamaican music with Ghanaian music, wow.
Yeah, the Afrobeat.
Jamaican food, Ghanaian food, the weather, so many similarities. Okay, so...
And they
They love spicy food?
Yeah.
even better. So what I've learned so far is that your ultimate goal is to, you know, own in a restaurant, and you know, a lot of major establishments come from humble beginnings. I could tell you the fact that there's a restaurant here in Florida called Pollo Tropical, and that one started from a food truck. So I want you to tell us about your future plans for expanding the business.
For Deja Vu's Jerk Hut, originally it was supposed to be a restaurant. That was my vision, a restaurant. But, you know, sometimes you have to take a step back and you have to start off smaller and then expand. So that's how I started with the food truck. Now, eventually, I want to have multiple food trucks throughout the entire Ghana and actual restaurants.
Yep.
I want to become a franchise throughout the entire continent of Africa. So I don't want to just be based in Ghana. I would like to venture out and go to other countries. So that's my plan for Deja Vu's.
Nice. Looking forward to all the future success with the business. So like I've mentioned before, a lot of our listeners, a lot of our subscribers to the Sankofa Patreon, all our social media channels are looking to migrate to one of the many African countries there are and to set up businesses there. So what kind of advice can you give our people here in the diaspora?
So I would say, from my experience, you know, I hear a lot of people say, a lot of African Americans or people of the diaspora, they have a fear of not being accepted into the country, or like, you know, the people or the locals won't accept them because, you know, they kind of look down on us. But I, from my own experience, I would say that's false. I would suggest that everyone just go with an open mind and experience for themselves. And try not to listen to what everyone is saying. Just have an open mind, experience for yourself, and take it in completely. And not just go looking for, you know, the year of return turn up. Take it in and understand the history behind what this means as far as us being able to go back home as Black people and have this experience, because we were forced off the continent, you know, and the fact that I can return, I could just imagine, I think about my ancestors all the time, I could just imagine, I hope that I'm making them proud, and I think that far back, you know, because it's not about me, it's not about me. I want people to know that it is possible. Once again, I said you don't need plenty of vaccinations to get to Africa, you just need one. The visa process is possible to get through. So whatever they made us think here about Africa, or let me just speak for Ghana, take it out your mind once again. Go with an open mind, because it's so beautiful there. The people are welcoming. And I love it. I hope that everyone just gets to have that experience for themselves. But I continue to say, you have to go. You have to experience so you can witness it for yourself.
Great. But I must add, though, also that a lot of our people here that listen and follow Sankofa and our program, a lot of them are, like, well past. They know they want to go. You know, they're just ready. If it wasn't for the lockdown, that's what's going on. A lot of the people that I know would have already visited and starting their movement over there. So And also, I'm seeing a lot of our people are embracing this idea a lot more.
Yes. I'm definitely, once again, because I had about a total of 7 different people message me saying that they want to move to Ghana and if I have any advice or suggestions or anything. And to me, I feel like for me being that person that they can come to and ask questions, I want to give them the best advice, not to make it sound like everything is all good, you know, as transparent as possible, but just to let people know that it is possible. If I can do it without having any, I don't want to say a connection either, but if I can do it, and some of these people are like have parents that's from Ghana, they want to go back. So I'm like, if I'm doing it, you can do it. It's definitely you can do it. You know what I mean? Because you speak the language.
yep. So, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you can continue.
Okay, great. So just to, I already mentioned visa a while ago. We talked about visa earlier. I want to add that Jamaican citizens or anyone holding a Jamaican passport, you don't require a visa to visit Ghana because Nana Addo Okufo had visited and signed an agreement with Jamaica where Jamaicans do not require a visa to visit Ghana. And I think if I'm not...
That is true because actually my boyfriend, who is Jamaican, he has a Jamaican passport and he... So I don't know if he was like the first to go through that experience, but he came in December and he didn't get a visa. So some of the custom agents, they weren't aware of, you know, that movement that he waived the visa. So he was stuck in there. He was so nervous, like, oh my gosh, you're gonna send me back home. But they granted him, and I pulled it up on the internet, like, look, this is true, this really, and they apologized for misunderstanding, and they just let him through. So if you have a Jamaican passport, come to Ghana.
Yep, that must have been a wonderful feeling, and this all came to light because of Nana Addo Okufo's acknowledgement of us Jamaicans in the diaspora. We are truly descendants from Ghana. A lot of us are, and also the connection that Jamaica shares with Ghana via Nani, and also the Honorable Marcus Garvey. So Marcus Garvey had a great influence on Kwame Nkrumah, who is the founding father of Ghana. So based on all those that came into play, Jamaicans don't require a visa to go to Ghana, and I think there might be some works in the pipeline that will allow a lot of Africans in the diaspora to not require a visa to visit Ghana. So that might be in the works. There's an organization called Ministry of the Future. There's an organization called Ministry of the Future in Ghana, and they are working on that. And also another professor, he's Dr. Obadele Komba. He teaches at a university in Ghana, and he's working on that also. So that might come to light sometime in the near future.
That'd be great.
Yep, that's a good thing for our people. So since you have visited Ghana on multiple occasions, I'm pretty sure you have a lot of experience on the ground. So I want to want you to share with our people here, what are some of the other opportunities that you're seeing in Ghana as far as business opportunities?
One of my biggest things I would say, or suggest rather, is farming. I feel like farmland is accessible, and I think that is important to have agriculture and to give back once again to have the organic produce and fruit and vegetables. That's very important to me because, once again, with all that's going on in the world and being in America, we see what they fill the food up with here. I feel like being organic and having that opportunity to have that land is beneficial. So I would say farmland, definitely. That's another thing that I'm
going to look into. Real estate is huge right now because I feel like a lot of people are investing in Ghana and they're trying to get their hands on something. I want to say to whoever's listening that do not sit and wait, because if you know Brooklyn and you see how expensive these apartments have gotten, you want to get your hands on something ASAP. So I can see that the economy is growing, that people are investing, and money is being put into the country. So don't sit on it for another year. If you get to do something, work on it now, figure it out now, because you will regret it within the next 5 years. I see Ghana skyrocketing to be more than what it is right now.
Yep. So
what else? Yeah, I would say farming and real estate.
Nice. Now, with regards to Ghana, you know, growing as a country and its economy, Ghana is one of the fastest growing countries in the world. Not just in Africa, it's one of the fastest growing countries in the world. And they have a growth rate of about 8.5. I think it was 2018 or 2017, one of those years. But they're expanding pretty good.
I've seen that too. That's another reason why you would want to invest into the country, because with that proof right there is just showing you that the economy is getting better and it's growing.
Yep. Okay. So let's get into the fun part. So tell us about the year of the return and what was that experience like for you, because you were there in the last year, 2019.
Yeah, so December in Ghana is always a great time. Well, I only went twice. So December 5th, 2015 was my first time December experiencing Ghana in December. And then actually, I'm ashamed to say, but I was just busy making sure my truck was getting done, because I wanted to sell during the year of return. And unfortunately, the truck wasn't completed. That was my main focus. But when I would be out, you know, during the day and just seeing and hearing American accents in Ghana, it just touched me in a different kind of way, because I'm like, finally, people are seeing, they're understanding, and even if they're just here to have a good time, at least they are here for the first time and they're seeing the difference. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
if they came to invest or if they came to go to a party. At least that what was shown to us here in America is now you have your own perspective on it, and you now share that with other people, and other people would now want to come. So. I could say about year of return, because I was not able to partake in the festivities. Due to business. So it was for good reason. But by his grace, God willing, this December I'll be up and running and ready to be at all these events. So
Nice. By his grace. We're praying for that. We want to give out the phone number, because a lot of people are listening. We want to remind them that they could call in if they have a question or if they want to share some views with us. The phone number you can call in on is 516-418-5636. If you do have a number for Deja, you could call us on that number if you just want to share some information with us. I do have a question that was sent to me on my phone that I'll ask in a bit. But just want to give out that information that you could call in if you want to ask a question. Also, now, I want you to tell us about some of the places that you can visit in Ghana and some of the places that you have actually been, and what was the experience like?
As far as, like, places, like, what do you mean? Like, just...
just visit for recreation. I noticed that you went on business, so maybe you did not even get to visit.
No. Trust me, I've been out too. So
I've been, okay.
To begin, before it all started, before me focusing solely on my business, I would go out almost like every other day. So Ghana is, once again, you can go out every single day and have a great time. You can go out every single day, have good food, listen to good music. It's always a good vibe. And so, like I said, I brought my family to Ghana, ranging from 7 to 74. So now I have to think about what can we all do and be entertained. So we went to the Legon Botanical Gardens, where they have like a canopy walk where you walk in on the ropes, which is very fun. That was my first time doing that. Obviously, going to the Cape Coast Castle and Omina Castle, which is the slave castles. I feel like that is mandatory anytime you go to Ghana, because that's just a must. You have to learn about your history.
Yeah, so I've heard.
What else have we done? Bloom Bar, which is a night bar that's always a good vibe. It's very diverse, and I love it there. There's this place that just opened in December 2019 called Rose Garden. It's so cute. The food is so good. I have it on my YouTube if anyone wants to take a look at it. But the customer service was great, and the owners were from Canada, actually. So once again, these are people who are of the diaspora who's moving back and doing business there. Where else? I heard that they have the ATVs in Cape Coast. I haven't done it yet, but I've seen it on Instagram. A brewery is beautiful. They have Hillbury, which is this nice hotel. But if you want, you can just go sit outside and have lunch and have a nice drink.
Nice.
This Thai restaurant called Zion Thai Restaurant. The food was it was amazing. And I had Thai rice. It was so good. It's in Osu. Osu is the area where all the clubs are. So if you want to go turn up in Ghana, you have to go to Osu. Dr. Coconut. I live by Dr. Coconut because it's just so good. I always get a mango coconut smoothie. And it's to the point where they know my face every time I go there.
Wow.
They already have my smoothie ready. It's right in front of the ShopRite on Oxford Street. And I have a friend who has a juice bar also. What's it called? Juicing by Jetta. So once again, she's Ghanaian, but she grew up in the States. And she moved back, so that's another person.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so much to do in Ghana. It's so much you can do. You can never be bored.
Nice. So we're going to have you give out your social media streams where our folks can view all this information. But also, what I did not ask earlier, and I do apologize for that, please tell us where your food truck is located, what area of Ghana, how close it is to the airport, how can we get to it, because that's where we want to be when we get to Ghana.
Okay, so before this pandemic, I was located at the ARS roundabout, which is in East Legon. So East Legon, Accra, Ghana. And right before they shut down the universities, I was going to be settled at a university. And I don't want to necessarily say it yet because it wasn't confirmed. So it's still up in the air at this point right now. And once again, due to the pandemic, I would want to just make sure that my staff is safe, that I'm safe, and that, you know, we all are taking precautions because if you think about it, we're on a food truck, we'll be interacting with people every single day. We just wanted to make sure that we're as safe as possible. So at this point right now, I'm just brainstorming and just figuring out how I can come back better and stronger for when I return back to Ghana. When you follow my Instagram, then you'll see.
We're gonna give that out in just a minute. So just to give our folks an idea of where your food truck was located, was so Accra is the capital of Ghana. And Legon is an area within Accra, and you're in East Legon. That's East Legon. Legon is spelled L-E-G-O-N. Because when I hear names of places, I instantly go on Google and start looking it up to see where things, where places are located. So you were in East Legon, in the capital of Accra.
East Legon.
Nice. So also to be clear, you know, so our listeners know, is that you're currently in the U.S. now, and for with the pandemic that's going on, and you know you want to stay, if your staff being safe, you have stopped operation pretty much like anywhere else in the world right now.
Right.
So as soon as this pandemic clears up, you'll be back up and running. And
yes, I'm going right back to Ghana. I miss it so much. The nice weather.
Exactly. And we're going to urge our folks to follow you on all of your social media streams so they can see your current location, where you are. So let's get right into that. Your social media streams, let's give out all your social media streams now where we could find you.
Okay, so my business Instagram page is DejaVus_. So that's DejaVus_.
Okay.
That's for the business page. For my personal page, which I do promote my business on as well, it's Deja's Views. So that's DejaVius. Deja's Views.
Great.
And then I'm also, like, I vlog the entire of me looking for an apartment, me finding an apartment, just life in Ghana and now, you know, doing a business. So if anyone wants to follow that movement, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Deja's Views as well. So that's DejaS Views, VIEWS.
Okay, great. I just found you on YouTube. YouTube, you are Deja's Views, DejaS Views. And there's a space on YouTube, there's a space between Deja's and Views.
Yeah.
Great. So let's repeat that one more time. Just found your business on Instagram is DejaVus_. So your business Instagram. Okay, now I'll let you repeat your personal Instagram.
Personal Instagram is DejaVius.
Great. Nice. So there you have it. Just follow Deja on her social media streams, where you could follow her to see where her food truck will be located and where you could find her when you do visit Ghana. So one of the questions, I'm not sure how much information you have on real estate. So one of the questions that we got earlier was how much does it cost for beachfront property land in Ghana, if you have any information on that.
Beachfront property, once again, it depends on where, because they have like this area which is, and they have like a few, let's say like a bar, what's this place called, Sandbox, which is like a club right on the beach over there, would be more expensive. I don't necessarily know the exact price, but obviously when you're in the vicinity of the city, it's more. And then when you go on the outskirts, it's cheaper. So
cheaper.
I can't say. I can't because I don't know. I don't know how much, but once again, it's possible. So you can find a realtor, and just you know, talk with them. So also let me give out these two websites that can be helpful. They have two websites when it comes to looking for an apartment, property, house, whatever. It's called Mikasa, but that's M-E. Let me type it in my thing just to be sure. So that's MEQASA.com.
Okay.
Mikasa.com. And you can search whatever you need to search when it comes to looking for a property. And then there's another one. Let me see. Tonaton.
T-O-N?
Tonaton.
Okay.
Tonaton.
Okay, gotcha.
Com. And those two websites, you can go and you search in, like I said, for apartments, for land, for like whatever it is that you're looking for. And you can, like, the realtor will have their number on there, and you can just, well, you can't call using a U.S. number, but, you know, just to have an idea, you know.
Nice. So as an alternative, we want to give us some information on acquiring land in Ghana, and we have had several shows on this before. So in the central region of Ghana, which is about 2 hours drive from Accra, and 20 minutes drive from Cape Coast. You talked about the slave dungeon earlier. This place called Asebo is only 20 minutes from Cape Coast. So the paramount chief in that area, the paramount chief of Asebo, along with Nana Obokese, who is a chief in that area also, they have set aside 5,000 acres of land for us in the diaspora that we could acquire. The land is free, but there's a $700 fee for transferring the land to your name. So so that is available as an option for our people here in the diaspora. Again, that is 2 hours outside of Accra and 20 minutes from Cape Coast. And we have had several shows on that. So you could look up on our podcast page. You can see shows on that. Okay. So I think we have come to the end of our program, Deja. I want to really thank you for taking the time out to join us and share with us all this wonderful information on your experience in Ghana and setting up your business there. Can you share with us any, final remarks that you have?
I just want to want to say that it is important for every Black person to experience the motherland. It doesn't have to be Ghana. It could be anywhere in or on Africa. For anyone who is looking to do a business, it doesn't have to be, once again, in Africa, just on a whole, that to trust your process, understand that it will be a process, and take baby steps, take everything one step at a time, and follow your
plan,
follow your instincts.
Yeah, well, one of the main things you talked about earlier was planning, writing down the step-by-step what you want to do.
Yes.
Also, you might have said it doesn't matter about if you wanted to do business in Africa. I think you meant in Ghana, to be specific. It doesn't matter if it's Ghana.
Yes.
Yeah, but somewhere in Africa, it doesn't have to be Ghana.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Ghana. Once again, like I said, visiting Ghana, it doesn't have to be Ghana itself, but just making
some
your
other
way
African
back
country.
To the motherland is important.
Okay, so for us here at Sankofa, we're initially looking at helping our people here set up business in Ghana, but also Sierra Leone. And these are 5 West African countries: Sierra Leone, Senegal, the Gambia, and Nigeria. So those are the areas that we're focusing on. Okay, great. So, normally we do have some of our folks, they call in and they listen on the line. So we have one such person who have called in. I'm going to bring on that person and just to see if they had any questions or if they wanted to share any views. So caller, you are on. Just let us know your name and if you have a question or view.
Okay.
So call a phone number ending in 2591, you're on. So if you just wanted to listen on the line, if you had a question.
Hey, just wanted to say, just to tell Ms. Deja, you know, we hear we're proud of her. She's such an inspiration. I will be showing her channel to my children as a model for them.
Nice.
And so I plan to actually come to Ghana in 2021, and hopefully I will get an opportunity to connect with her as well as patronize that delicious food.
Nice. Okay. Great. A lot of us are looking forward to
checking
out your spot when we get
that.
There. Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in. We really do appreciate it. I'm just going to place you back on so you could continue listening. Great. Okay, so Deja, I really want to thank you on behalf of our team here at Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. I want to thank you again for taking the time out for joining us and sharing all this wonderful information. And we wish you all the success in your business endeavors and really hope for a speedy end to this situation that we're in to get back to business. I want to thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, everyone who's listening. And make your way to Africa.
There you go. Thank you, Deja. I enjoy the rest of your day. On behalf of our listeners, we want to say thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Okay, so that was Miss Deja Gordon. Her business is Deja Vu's Jerk Out, and that was in the East Legon area of Accra in Ghana. She's running her business there currently because of this lockdown that the world is facing. She's here chilling out on the U.S. soil, but as soon as all that is cleared up, she'll be back in Ghana getting her business going again. And as soon as we get there, we will be checking out our Jerk Hut. Can't wait to do that. I want to thank you for listening and joining our program. As always, the mission here of Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program is to assist our brothers and sisters set up businesses on the African continent. Check out our website at sankofarepat.com. Thank you for listening, and we're here Tuesday again. We'll be talking with Echo Simpson. He lives in Cape Coast, Ghana, and he'll be telling us about his experience living there and life in Ghana. Have a great rest of your day. I am out.